As more and more people get vaccinated, the number of new coronavirus infections and deaths reported each day are finally in decline. Scientists tell us this pandemic won't last forever. But what happens next? Do we just pick up where we left off last year, or have things changed in a fundamental way? Our Ideas and Opinions desk asked its contributors to speculate on what a post-COVID world might look like. Here are some of their thoughts.
My husband and I are in our late 60s. Fed, housed, and able to freelance, we've weathered the past year with gratitude and relative ease. But like so many of our peers, the pandemic has intensified our feelings about how we want to live the rest of our lives in intentional community. In a post-pandemic future, we can expect to see the biggest change in where and with whom the elderly live. More than 40% of all COVID fatalities have happened in nursing homes. The virus's impact on residents has been earth-shaking, fueling people's desire to age in place or live in settings where mutual aid is the norm. COVID has deepened the lessons that aging inevitably bestows. Don't take your family and friends for granted. Protect your health. Accept that you're going to die and live accordingly. My name is Julie Wittes Schlack. I'm a retired marketing executive and a writer.
I don't feel the need to see other people as much as I did earlier in the pandemic. Is the isolation hitting other writers and artists the way it's hitting me? I'm Desmond Hall. I'm a novelist and a visual artist. I love when artists create the specific that's felt universally. If we continue to be so isolated, will we be too alienated from each other to appreciate varied experiences? I believe in art as a unifying force. I hope the isolation we've endured this year won't stunt our ability to connect to each other.
The past 12 months have changed me more than I could have possibly imagined. It's changed the way I teach. I'm Nima Avashia, and I teach 8th grade in Boston. In-person Miss Avashia was all about urgency and rigor and content, content, content. Pandemic teaching Miss Avashia moves much more slowly with her students. We play more in class. Teaching during the pandemic has pushed me to be so much more human with my students and to teach into their humanity. My greatest fear is that K-12 education in a post-COVID world will not change enough. We can keep our students engaged. We can affirm that schools are cornerstones of our democracy and our community. We can do this. We should do this.
I'm Sandra Galea. I'm the Dean of the School of Public Health at Boston University. In some ways, COVID-19 will be remembered as a triumph of biomedical science. We developed safe and effective vaccines in less than a year. We developed effective treatments to treat a deadly disease. But even more memorably, the pandemic revealed a terrifying and revealing view of our failure to create a world that generates health. This moment should teach us that avoiding the next pandemic will require us to rethink how we approach health. It is time to recognize that we cannot be healthy unless we build a world with safe housing, good schools, livable wages, gender and racial equity, clean air, drinkable water, and a fair economy.
I've lived in Chelsea my whole life. Last spring, we had the highest COVID infection rate in Massachusetts. Our residents were literally lined up around city blocks to pick up donated food. Other low-income, ethnically and racially diverse communities like mine face the same wrath from COVID-19. During the peak of the pandemic last spring, folks outside of our community opened up their hearts for the residents of Chelsea. After the pandemic is over, I hope people remember how much communities like Chelsea have sacrificed. I want them to remember the reasons for Chelsea's soaring infection rates in the first place. My name is Roseanne Bongiovanni. I'm the executive director of Green Roots in Chelsea, Massachusetts.
I never harbored any illusions about living in a culture that values mothers. I love the love of motherhood. But the work of mothering is mostly unsupported and unrespected. The past year calcified my fury that mothers are expected to support a very broken system while being given nothing in return. America relies on us to uphold the primary concerns of our capitalist system, but denies us adequate compensation or even cultural respect for our indispensable work. I wonder if all our rage will eventually coalesce into meaningful change. I hope so. My name is Sarah Peterson. I'm a writer and a mother of three.
My name is Teymoullah Abdulrahman. I'm an imam. I've spent many nights in the last year contemplating God's wisdom and purpose, while feeling the despair and weariness of many Muslims who sought my counsel. People wanted to know, was COVID a pandemic or the plague? And what was the difference? Was it God's wrath or God's cleansing? As life returns to normal, I suspect we'll have a deeper appreciation for our respective worship communities and the spaces of comfort they provided us. God forced us to slow down our schedules and take faith into our own hands. Now, I believe, God will allow us to embrace one another again.
I think the pandemic accelerated a comeuppance about how the workplace can and should evolve. Companies discovered that a lot of work can be done remotely. They learned that back-to-back meetings, Zoom or otherwise, aren't effective. And they learned that employees are whole people with lives beyond the office that are valuable to their well-being and to their work. The truth is, we knew all this before COVID, but we resisted change. COVID forced us to experience flexibility and notice what we missed about being together in person. It's time to build new workplaces and work cultures that reflect these lessons. My name is Julie Morgenstern, and I'm a productivity expert.
I'm Joanna Weiss. I'm the editor of Northeastern's Experience magazine. One of the hardest things about COVID has been the way it made friendships seem dangerous. In the beginning, we had Zoom, and it was fine. Virtual happy hours and online game nights that kept relationships alive when we had to be physically apart. But the pandemic separation couldn't last. In late spring, I took my first illicit walk with friends. By summer, we were holding birthday dinners outdoors. When winter came, we layered up like ice fishermen and huddled around fire pits on 30-degree nights. We've learned this past year that connection isn't the same when it's remote. And when the COVID threat is gone, I predict that we'll double down on the joys of physical friendship. I want to double dip in the guacamole. I want to sip your cocktail to see if I like it too. I want to scream together in a karaoke microphone. I'll pick the first song with a little help from my friends.
This piece was produced by WBUR's Chloe Axelson.